I'm Bruce Worsen, pastor of His Place Community Church. The following message came from a Sunday morning right here at His Place.
Was Jesus the guest of honor at your family feast? I sure hope not, right? He's tricking us. I hate when he tricks us. No, I hope he wasn't, because he won't settle for being a guest, even if it's a guest of honor. Oh, I knew he was tricking us. Revelation 3:20 says, he knocks and we open, but he'll only come in and dine with us as a permanent resident, right? And you're not off the hook if you say, well, we ate at someone else's house, so. No, because he sets up his throne in your, say it, heart, in your heart. And not only that, but we are told that he will only make your heart his home as Lord, Lord. That's how it's, I'm ringing up here. Michael, Colin. Okay, you have. You're on it. Okay. He will only set up, he will only make your heart his home as Lord, Lord. That's the New Testament version of the Old Testament, Lord of Lords. New Testament, just Lord, Lord. Which is why I had you say your name twice. And it means that Lord, Lord, Lord of Lords means he's Lord over everything else that commands or demands or lords over our time, our attention, our talent, our treasure, everything. And even then, he warns, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, literally master, master, master of masters, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. He's not saying, I'm going to keep them out. He's saying, they won't enter in. But only, the only one who enters in is the one who does the will of my Father. And I've read ahead, so I know what he's talking about. It's to know Jesus as friend. Oh, many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, right? Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, Lord of Lords? And in your name, Lord, Lord, cast out demons, and because there's power in his name. And in your name, even perform many miracles. But then Jesus says, I will, you know, tragically, sadly, have to tell them who only knew me by name. I have to tell them plainly, I never knew you. I didn't know you. You see, serving, as important as it is, only gets you so far. Because our Lord of Lords demands to know you and I as best of friends. It's a balance. It's a balance. Just before the cross, night before, he washed his disciples' feet and said, I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends. Say that with me. I have called you friends. For everything that I learned from my Father, this is why I call you friends, everything I learned from my Father regarding his will and our friendship, I've made known to you. And so I call you a friend. Okay, so now let's go back 1 year before the cross. 1 year earlier, let's invite ourselves to Martha's, one of Jesus' very, very best friends. We are told the Passover is near, so we know the markets were wall-to-wall people preparing for their big feast, right? When Jesus suddenly shows up at Martha's with his entourage, no cell phones, he just, there he is. But remind me, was it Mary or Martha who sat at Jesus' feet to listen? You sure? He's tricking us again. You sure? Was it Mary or Martha who sat at Jesus' feet to listen? Well, listen, oh, what? Say it. They both did. There it is. Now it happened. We'll just read the story. Now it happened as they went. You ever ask who they are? In context, who are they? We're going to weave it. We're going to find out. But that's really important. as they went, Jesus entered a certain village, it's Bethany, and a certain woman named Martha welcomed him and, you know, those with him into her house. Now look at this. And she, Martha, had a sister called Mary who also, like Martha, who also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. You're right on. They both did. But on this occasion, I'm just going to tell you, something happened. We're going to see. Something happened. And Martha was distracted with much serving. So we know from the context, she got Mary to help out. But while Martha's serving, she notices Mary's back sitting and listening. And she gets upset and distressed by much more than you think. She approached him, Jesus, interrupted him, and scolded him publicly. This is an incredible story. And said, Lord, singular, which isn't important. It's only significant because of his response. Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Not a question, an accusation. Every husband here knows this one. But it's kind of fun, I gotta say, to watch Jesus, who was fully man, deal with an angry woman's rhetorical question. You know, what do you imagine the mood in the room? She just came in and did that. John tells us that Jesus loved Martha and her sister. And the way that Martha cuts him off and tells him off does not suggest disrespect as much as the depth of their friendship. This is their relationship. She can do it. It's like a brother-sister. And I can prove it's a rhetorical question because he doesn't answer, but she says, therefore. Therefore, tell her to help me. She's not asking for help. She's telling for help. There's a huge difference. I'm surprised it doesn't say she took him by the ear. Huh? That's the picture that's being painted. Tell her to help me. You ever do that with Jesus? Instead of asking for help, asking for direction, what now? What are you doing? You just tell him how he needs to help you. You tell him for help and get a little mad when he doesn't do what you want. And Jesus answered and said to her, how dare you speak to me in this manner, woman? Not at all, of course. Not at all. Nope, he didn't. He said something just so unexpectedly charming and disarming. He said, Martha, Martha, Martha of Marthas. Because who's in charge here? Martha. Because it will always be either Lord, Lord, or me, me. But who's in control? Not Martha. Oh, you can take charge, but you can never be in control. Just can't happen. But he says, Martha. She says, Lord, and he says, Martha, Martha. You are worried and troubled about many things. You know, there's only seven people in the whole Bible who are called by God by their name. And they all turn out to serve a major role in his plans. And it always serves as a wake-up call to just stop and drop and start trusting him as the Lord of Lords. For instance, first up, Abraham, right? Abraham took the knife to slay Isaac, his son. But the angel of the Lord called out to him from heaven in the nick of time, pardon the pun, Abraham, Abraham, here I am, he replied. And then the Lord tells him, he says that the amazing faith of this Abraham of Abrahams would serve to save not only his son Isaac, but the whole world through his seed. And then God spoke to Isaac's son, whose name was changed to Israel, in a vision at night when he was filled with fear about moving his 11 sons, tribes, out of the promised land into Egypt at the request of his long-lost son, Joseph. And God said, Jacob of Jacobs, Jacob, Jacob. Here I am, he replied. And then the Lord calmed his fears by reassuring him and us by extension that he is always with those who serve him as their Lord, Lord, as their Lord of Lords, no matter where they are or what troubles or trials or worries their faith requires them to face. And God called to Moses from within that burning bush. Moses, Moses, Moses of Moses, says. And Moses, who had just fled for his life from Egypt, said, here I am. Seems to be the common answer, common response. And the Lord tells him that he's heard the cries of suffering back in Egypt. And so he's going to send this Moses of Moseses to serve as their savior. And if you know the story, you know Moses more or less responds and says, pretty sure you got the wrong guy. I'm a horrible speaker. How would you feel God shows up? How would you feel if the Lord called you to be his ambassador? Which he has, by the way. But I mean, how would you feel if he did that as his Ernie of Ernies? Or his Cheryl of Cheryls? Or Ryan of Ryans? I'm just going through the whole Neff family. It was very convenient. They sat right there earlier. But with you, if he called you, you're the Lisa of Lisas. How would you feel? You know, spoiler alert, he has. The last recorded double name call in the Bible is Paul. He changed his name. It was Saul. It's when he says, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And then Paul is converted to Christ, and he writes that he was saved. The manner in which he was saved will serve as a pattern to all who are going to believe. So if you've come to Christ, it's because he called you by your name of names. So it's time to take a stand as the something of somethings. So let's read this together and insert your name. Here we go. It's time to take a stand as the Bruce of Bruces. Because that's how he sees you. That's how he sees you right where he put you. You're the Tom of Toms. You're the Tom-Tom. The last double call in the Old Testament is young little Samuel, who at the first, you know, jumps up and leaves the room the first three times because God's call is so strong, he thinks it's another person yelling. And the Lord came calling as at the other times, but this time said, Samuel, Samuel. Then Samuel sat up, took note, and said, and look at, he breaks the mold. He said, speak, for your servant is listening, because that's what servants do. For the Lord was doing this to demonstrate the importance of listening to his voice in order to be led by his spirit. And it goes without saying, the number one place we hear his voice is in his word. That's where he speaks to us. But this is why listening is serving. And each of these rare double name callings were well known to the Jews. Which brings us to Jesus saying, Martha, Martha, Martha of Marthas, you are worried and troubled about many things. Did you think this was just about serving a meal? Because I needed to know, what are these many things that have this poor gal who's so close to Jesus so worried and troubled that she reacts in such an emotionally charged way? And so we get to weave the word. Matthew will be in purple, Mark in blue, Luke in green. We just take the parts out of the Gospels and we put them in their chronological order, and look what emerges. Because a few weeks earlier, Jesus called the 12 to himself and then began to send them out two by two in Judea. And, as Luke chimes in, appointed 70 others also and sent them two by two. Well, in Galilee. Then, weeks later, the 70 returned to Jesus in Jerusalem. This is the same story in Luke. It's just the top of it and the bottom of it. The 70 returned. Now it happened as they went. Who's the they? The 70 with Jesus. As they went, that Martha welcomed him and the 70 with him into her house, which I assume wasn't so big. That's only where the chaos begins, because as we keep adding the parts in chronological order, we're told Herod said, John the Baptist, I have beheaded, just beheaded. But who's this? So Herod sought to see Jesus, and then we're told that it was to kill him. So it's only a matter of time before Herod's goons come knocking on Martha's door. But Jesus had to stay put, because the next piece that locks in, then the apostles, the 12, gathered to Jesus and told him all that they had done. Then John the Baptist's disciples buried his body and went and told Jesus. And when Jesus heard it, and this is how all the Gospels end this portion, they all end this way. And when Jesus heard it, he said to the 12, come aside by yourselves to a deserted place and rest a while. For, and this is the actual conclusion to that story. For there were so many, there were many coming and going and panicking and warning and freaking out. You know, they served John's head on a platter. They're all coming to Martha's house. This is why Jesus says, Martha, Martha, you are, you know, understandably worried and troubled about many things. And sorry, Martha, but they did not even have time to eat. So many coming and going. So he took the 12 to the Sea of Galilee and departed from there by boat to a deserted place belonging to the city called Bethsaida. And this is where and when about 5,012 men will learn what Martha and all Israel will hear about a little later. Because this is when Jesus said to the 12, you give the crowd something to eat. And they said, we have no more than 5 loaves and 2 fish for about 5,000 men and their families. And then he said, make them sit down. And they made them all sit down. Then he took the 5 loaves and the 2 fish and blessed and broke them and gave them to the disciples to set before the multitude. So they all ate and were stuffed. They were filled, because just one thing is needed when he's in charge. Sit down. Quiet down. Calm down. And trust him. And so he says, come to me. Come to me. And trust in me, all you who are weary and burdened. And I will give you rest. How? How? He's going to tell us how. First, he says, take my yoke. My yoke, the yoke, in case you don't know, is a crossbeam. It's literally a crossbeam that joins two beasts of burden. He says, take my yoke upon you. Connect with me, he says, and learn from me. Learn what? Well, I'm gentle and humble in heart. And this is how you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light, because I'll not only pull my own weight, I'm going to pull yours as well. Because trying to control a world that runs on chaos is exhausting. Yeah, you can all say amen to that one. But like, those last 6 months in this world has been exhausting. But like Martha, Martha, it's easy to get distracted when you're worried and troubled about many things that he brought on her. Don't miss that part of the story. He brought all of this to her door. Hey, Martha, could you maybe help out your old pal and his 70 friends? The 12 are coming in a little bit, and then John's disciples are coming. And don't worry. I know we're all hearing rumors about Herod sending his men out looking for me. I don't think they'll find me. He brought it on her. Every rattled group rushing into Martha's could have been King Herod's goons. And he says to her, you know, and so you just have to understand, he's appreciating. You are worried. And I see it. I understand. He's not angry. You're troubled and worried about many things. He's just wanting her to take a breath. But one thing is needed, okay? But one thing is needed above every other competing, distracting, troubling thing. He says, and look at her. Look at Mary has chosen that good part. Not that crazy part. But she's chosen that good part to cast her anxieties on Christ, which will not be taken away from her as it had from Martha by her own actions. Worry is such a common part of life that we kind of forget it's a sin. It's a sin against Him. It's a sin of distrust. But it's so common because our worst worries and our most tragic troubles almost always keep us from choosing the good part, choosing the good, less common part of life. Because the one thing actually needed is to settle down and listen up to the Lord of Lords. Because the peace that passes understanding won't be taken away. It'll just fill you up, carry you through. But instead of allowing Jesus to take her burden, Martha takes the wheel. You could write a song about that. Martha takes the wheel and drives herself to distraction and frustration. And then the poor gal doubles down, right, and tries to take control and spirals out of it. Truth is, he wasn't even there to eat, but to meet up with the 12 and make a quick getaway. After calming everyone's fears and worries and troubles by sitting them down and reassuring them all that God's still in control. But Martha isn't listening because she's too busy interrupting. And that's us, ick. That's us. Not listening because we're too busy interrupting. While he's offering the very thing she needs most. So we need to discern when sitting and listening best serves his plans and our created purpose. And when we're being called to serve others, because that's a big part of our call too. It's a balance. Got to serve others on his behalf. Ecclesiastes says there's a time to be silent and a time to speak. So we got to learn when to sit and when to get off our seat and be doers of the word, right? We're warned about that. Be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. Lord, Lord, I didn't know you. Because we should only sit and listen until it's time to rise and serve. Because there's a time to be a hearer and a time to be a doer. And when in doubt, just go to God for help. Just ask, which is exactly what happens in the second half of the story. Martha never gets her due in this story. You got to have the second half of this story when Jesus returns to Martha's house several months later, just after their brother Lazarus has died, and just before Jesus raises him from the dead. And of course, they have no idea that's what he's going to do. And so Jesus is on his way to the funeral. And when Martha heard that Jesus was coming, you know, Martha, she went and met him. But Mary, sounds like she's pouting, but Mary remains seated in the house. You got to know when to sit and when to get off your seat. And so Martha goes to Jesus and she says, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But listen to this faith. But even now, I know that whatever you ask from God, God will give you. And they chat a little bit. And then Jesus says, I am the resurrection and the life. Do you believe this? And she said, yes, Lord. You know, I was just distracted the other day. But yes, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God. And then Jesus said, where's Mary? Must have. Because the next part of the story is she went and called her sister Mary, saying in private this time, you know, get off your seat. The teacher is here and is calling for you. And the way we can imagine she said it, when Mary heard it, she rose quickly and went to him. And when she got there, she fell at his feet, saying to him the exact words of Martha, but with a little different motive. Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. Unlike Martha, she says nothing else. No words of faith or trust between them. She just sits and cries. And yet, when Jesus saw her weeping, he was deeply moved and greatly troubled. That's what moves and troubles him. You're weeping, even if you're crying because of a lack of faith. You got to see who he is. He's the Lord of Lords, but he's also the best of friends. So cast all your anxiety on him, because he cares for you. Our worries and troubles from the madness of life will always compete to keep us from drawing close to Christ until we make a concerted effort to take the time to take a break from the chaos and take a seat at his feet and take a breath and give it a rest and really connect with the friend of sinners through prayer or just silence or weeping or singing or confession or conversations with fellow believers. And above all, we got to learn to discern the difference between serving the urgent and serving the eternal. Because at the end of the day, that's why Mary, by sitting, was serving when she wasn't, and Martha wasn't when she was. So maybe it's time, right, to settle down and listen up. And if that's for you, look at this. Isaiah offers a great scripture to help us pray our worries away. It's written right to the Lord, writing, you will keep in perfect peace. Literally, you know what it says? It says, you will keep in shalom, shalom, in peace, peace, peace of pieces. You will keep in perfect peace those whose minds are steadfast. In other words, who offer the Lord their undivided attention because, and they're doing this because, they trust in you. That's a great prayer. You will keep in perfect peace those whose minds are steadfast because they trust in you. Because I'll tell you right now, the most control you will ever know down here is the control you give to him. And that ain't easy to do, so let's pray. Father God, we love you and worship you and cast all our cares and control upon you. Holy Spirit, remodel our heart as your home and remind us to come to you in the midst of our chaos. Lord Jesus, you are our Lord of Lords and faithful friend, and we are at your feet, and we're all ears. And everybody said, Amen.
Well, thanks for listening in. Why don't you join us on a Sunday morning? If you'd like more information about the church, just point your browser to hisplacechurch.com. Until next time, may the Lord bless you, keep you, and make his face shine upon you.